This weekend also is the Sport Relief weekend. Sport Relief was formed by Comic Relief, and it aims to raise money for people in need in the UK and all over the world. I think to date it's raised £55 million this year, I think that is. And I wonder, how do they raise money? How do they convince people to raise £55 million so far this year for people in need? I had a look at their website, and I got a few points. Maybe you can add a few more. They show famous people, popular role models like Davina McCall, who raised £2 million 2 years ago for the last time through running, cycling, swimming. They communicate well. They make sure you know all about what's going on. They've got TV programs. They've got radio programs. For instance, the Great British Bake Off, the Great Sport Relief Bake Off. They make it fun to be a part of. They make you feel part of something much bigger than the ordinary life that you lead. 140,000 people ran, swam, or cycled at the last weekend in 2014. They make you feel pity and compassion for these people in need as they tell their stories. They make you see the difference that your money will make in the lives of these people all over the world. And they make you feel good about your generosity. £71 million was raised in 2014, the last time. Thanks, as they put it on their website, to the amazing generosity of the British public. They make you feel good. They're very good at helping you to think, I should give to this cause. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing to give, isn't it? But I wonder, for us as Christians, why do we give money? Christians, most of us give money. Why do we give money? We pass around an offering bag. We've just done that just now, haven't we? And some of us use that as an opportunity to give. Some of us give by regular monthly standing order, so the money goes out of our bank each month to the church's bank account. But why do we do that? Maybe we think it's part of being a Christian. I've become a Christian. That's one of the rules. You give money. Or it's a church rule. I'm a member of this church. That's one of the rules. You give money to the church. Maybe your parents have taught you, give money. Maybe you feel guilty. I need to give this money. Maybe you've been taught somewhere else other than here that if you give money, you'll be blessed. Maybe you'll become healthy. You'll stay healthy. You'll become richer. These are some reasons why we might think we should give money. And let me say, if you're a visitor here today, we've got visitors, we don't normally talk about money, okay? We normally preach through the Bible, through books of the Bible, and I preach whatever passage is next in the book of the Bible. And today, it's a passage that does have a focus on money. So you've picked that Sunday to come, but I'm not asking for your money. We've come to the end of our series in Paul's letter to the Philippians. It's our last one. We're going to have a question and answer session at the end after this sermon. If you're a teenager, I'm going to give the first question to you. So do think, if you've got any questions from this term in Philippians, ask. If you weren't born in the UK, second question goes to you. And after that, it's a free-for-all. Anyone can ask anything from Philippians. And I promise to try and answer. So, Paul finishes his letter talking to the Philippian Christians and thanking them for the gift that they've sent him via their guy Epaphroditus. So please do turn back to that end of Philippians, page 1181 in these blue Bibles that you'll see in the front of the seats, in the back of the seats in front of you. And let's look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. By concern, Paul's talking about concern that leads to giving financially to him. So he is talking about giving. And we'll see that more clearly further on in the passage. Paul wants to thank them for that. And so we learn in this passage how to thank people for the gifts that they give us. And we'll learn a lot more. We're going to focus on two things in this passage this morning. We're going to focus on contentment and generosity. Contentment and generosity. So 2 points. First point, be content. Second point, be generous. So first, be content. Paul says in verse 10 that he rejoices that they've renewed their concern for him, i.e. they were able to give him a gift again. But he's quick to say, verse 11, I'm not saying this because I'm in need. Paul's thankful for their gift, but he wants to make it clear that there's something more important than receiving money for his needs. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Verse 12, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Paul is used to hardship. In a different letter, he writes to the Corinthian church, and he writes this up on the screens. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles. In danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. And through that, he has learned to be content in any and every situation. How? Verse 13, have a look. I can do all this. Through him who strengthens me. Through God who strengthens me. Well, how does God give him strength? It's not that God provides food for him, although God does do that. And in this case, God's stirred the hearts of the Philippian Christians to give him a gift through Epaphroditus. But that's not the point that Paul's making here. God gives him strength. Well, think back to chapter 3 we looked at a few weeks ago. God gives him strength like this. This is verse 7 of chapter 3. Whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Knowing Christ is everything for Paul. And so when he's hungry or in prison, or thrown out of a city, or shipwrecked, or left for dead, or whatever is going on in his life, he knows contentment because he's got Christ. He's gained Christ. He may have lost everything else, but he's gained Christ, and he is content. He may not have everything he needs. Enough food, enough clothing, enough shelter. But he's content because he knows he's got what he really needs. He's got Christ. So, are you content in your situation? Now, I don't know all of your situations. Maybe you are in great need, like Paul was from time to time. Maybe you're on benefits. Maybe you earn very little. You're unemployed. Maybe you're a single parent with a family and you're working hard to get them through, but it's a constant struggle. Are you content? It's difficult for me to say this because I've been comfortable all my life. But forget about me. This is God's word talking to us through his servant Paul, who says, I can do all this through God who gives me strength. are you content? Maybe you're a missionary, or you work for a church, or you work for Kensington, and maybe you think you don't earn quite enough. Or you're married to someone who's a missionary or who works for a church, and you don't think you earn quite enough. Are you content? Do you wish that you earned more? Do you wish that you had a secular job and you could earn more? Or maybe you're thinking that in the future you might go into full-time Christian ministry, go overseas as a missionary, but the one thing that's holding you back is the thought that actually I'm going to have to cut down on my living costs. Fewer holidays. My kids may be having fewer gadgets than the kids their age in school. And maybe that's the one thing that's making you think, maybe mission work isn't for me. Are you content? Paul learned contentment in every situation by experiencing it, and experienced that God was all he needed in that situation. We thought about rejoicing last Sunday, that we can choose to rejoice despite our circumstances. Paul chose to rejoice. He knew contentment. So be content, whatever your situation. And second, be generous. Paul tells the Philippians that even if they hadn't sent him a gift, he would have been okay, because knowing Jesus is more important than having enough food, enough clothing. And then he goes back to talking about their gift. So verse 14, have a look at it. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. When Paul went to a new city to preach the gospel, he didn't ask those people who became Christians there through his ministry to give him money normally. That's what many traveling preachers did. That wasn't Paul's general policy. Often he would work for his living. As a tent maker, he made tents. So have a look at this, how Luke describes it in Acts chapter 18. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath, he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. So there we got Paul working during the week, preaching on the Sabbath, one day in the week, but working for his living so he can preach the gospel one day a week. He wanted to give people the gospel for free. But with the Philippians, he had a special relationship where they gave him money from time to time so that he could preach the gospel more. Have a look back at Acts chapter 18, verse 4 again. Every Sabbath, he reasoned in the synagogue trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. Verse 5, when Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, he was able to preach every day of the week because they must have brought him a gift. So he didn't need to work all the time. And that gift probably came from the Philippian church. Philippi in Macedonia. And once again, in prison in Rome, Paul is talking about a gift from the Philippian Christians again, through their guy Epaphroditus. So it's a passage about giving, and we're going to learn various things about giving. We're going to learn four things in particular. Why we should give. So four reasons why we should give. Okay, the first one is, we are giving to gospel work. Verses 14 to 16, we're giving to gospel work. The Philippians gave so that Paul could preach the gospel. If they gave, it meant he could preach the gospel every day rather than working Monday through to Friday. We too give to gospel work because we want the good news of Jesus to be able to be proclaimed as much as possible. And that costs money. At Kensington, you gave £360,000 this past year. £86,000 of that went to our mission workers in various parts of the world, including in the UK. £10,000 went to various ministries in which we try and proclaim Jesus to people here in Easton and Bristol. £41,000 has gone into the building, a good resource that God has given us so that we can minister to people here in Easton. And £205,000 went to salaries of all our workers, people who are freed up so that they can preach the gospel and train you guys so that you can share the gospel in your everyday lives. So our workers, one full-time pastor, one almost full-time director of training, two full-time assistant pastors, one almost full-time office manager, one part-time pastor, one part-time assistant pastor, one part-time women's pastoral worker, one part-time youth worker, one part-time toddler group manager, one part-time office assistant, and two ministry apprentices. Gospel workers who are freed up, most of them freed up as much as possible so that they can preach the gospel and train you guys and feed you guys so that you can share the gospel in your everyday lives. That's where the money goes. Money so that the gospel can be shared and spread and proclaimed here in Easton and Bristol and throughout all the world. Gospel work costs money, and that's why we give. How much should you give? Some people say 10% of your gross income. The Bible never mentions 10%, really. The New Testament never mentions 10%. Even in the Old Testament, the Jews didn't give 10%. When you added up everything that they gave, one scholar puts it as 23%. So even in the Old Testament, it wasn't really 10%. But 10% can be a good guide. For some of us here, for some people, 10% will be far too much. Maybe you're on benefits, or you earn very little, and 10% will be far too much for you to give. Maybe you can give £1 a week, or £10 a week, and that will be very generous. And God will delight in that gift that you give, that enables Jesus to be proclaimed. Others earn a good salary, and 10% will be too little. And maybe you should be thinking more like 20% or 30% or even 40%. It depends on you and your circumstance and how much you earn. Each person, Paul writes in a different letter, should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So it's worth sitting down, looking at what comes in each month, and planning your giving. Maybe if you've got a bank account, setting up a standing order. That means the church can claim tax back on your giving. It means we can plan because we know how much is coming in each month. It means that you can give larger amounts without people seeing. It means that you can give even if you miss church. It means that you won't forget to give. And there are forms at the back if you do want to do that. Who do we give to? I think most of your giving should be to the place where you are being fed spiritually. And the place where the gospel work which you are involved in is happening. I.e. the church that you are committed to. Most of your giving should be to the church that you are committed to. That seems the wise way to do it. And you can ask me more about that later if you want to. So that's the first reason. We give because we give to gospel work so that Jesus is proclaimed. The next three reasons I'll go through more quickly. So second reason, we give because we give to God. Have a look at verse 18. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They're a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Paul uses sacrifice language to describe this gift. fragrant offering, acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. It comes from the Old Testament to describe the sacrifices that were given to God. God could either reject a sacrifice, like he rejected Cain's sacrifice, or he could accept a sacrifice that was pleasing to him, acceptable. And our gifts are like sacrifices to God. We're like priests in this respect, offering up our sacrifice of this gift to God. Not in any way contributing to our salvation, of course not, because that has been done. If we trust in Jesus, then Jesus is that once for all sacrifice on the cross which pays for our sins. Nothing more needs to be done to pay for our sins. But this sacrifice is a different kind of sacrifice, like what Paul mentions in Romans 12, a living sacrifice. So in effect, as we give to gospel work, we're giving to God. He's given us his son Jesus, and we respond in love to him to give back to him. And when God sees us giving to the work of Jesus, he looks down and he smiles and he smells the pleasing aroma of that sacrifice coming up to him. That's one reason why passing an offering bag can be a good thing. I know that for some British Christians, we can feel uncomfortable, can't we? Although it's perfectly normal in most other cultures. But even if we do give by standing order monthly, it can also be good to occasionally, spontaneously, as an offering to God, put something in the offering bag. That's the second reason we give to God. Third reason, we will receive from God now. Have a look at verse 19. We'll receive back from God. Maybe we're nervous about giving too much. We think, if I give too much, what happens later on if I come into hard circumstances? I need to be topping up my savings account, my pension fund, so that I can care for myself later on when times get hard, when I'm retired. Paul says, verse 19, my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. God will take care of us. He's not saying that if we give generously, then God will make us rich. And you may have gone to a church in the past, and you may have heard that if you give to God, then God will give back to you in abundance to make you healthy and wealthy. That's not what Paul's saying here. The Bible never promises that. He's talking about our needs, not our wants, our needs. He'll make sure our needs are met. First of all, our financial and material needs, but he's talking about more than that, isn't he? Paul's confident that if we give generously to God, God will give us more of his son, Jesus Christ, in whom there are glorious riches. Just as Paul found contentment when he had very little, so we too will find contentment in Jesus as we give. God will meet our needs as he takes care of us. He will meet our needs by giving us more of his son Jesus and the joy and the contentment that comes through that. Fourth reason, we'll receive from God in the future. Will receive from God in the future. Verse 17. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. Paul doesn't want them to think that he is greedy for their gift. Maybe you've got a savings account that you top up each month, and then you receive interest on that savings account. The more you put in, the more interest you receive back on it. Paul's talking about a spiritual savings account that you put installments into, and it earns you spiritual interest on what you put in. God is adding more to our spiritual savings account. He's storing up treasures in heaven for us as we give. The Bible does talk about rewards in heaven, 1 Corinthians 3, and this verse seems to point to that as well. I think all these reasons can be summed up in one reason. We give because of Jesus. If you love Jesus, then you'll want to give because so that Jesus can be preached all over the world. If you love Jesus, then you'll give as an offering in response to what the offering that Jesus has made for you, the salvation that he's given you. If you love Jesus, then you'll give trusting that the God who gave you Jesus will supply all your needs. You don't need to worry about not having enough in the future. If you love Jesus, you'll give knowing that you will get more of Jesus both now and in the future from your spiritual bank account. And that's far better than any material gain that you might want. This letter has been about Jesus. Paul has rejoiced in him because he's preached. He's shown him to be our model who left heaven and humbled himself and came down to die for us. He's explained how if we've lost everything, we've gained Jesus Christ. And that's better by far. And if there's anyone here who doesn't know Jesus personally, then let me say as I finish that the members here give money to this church so that I can preach about Jesus. That's how important we think Jesus is. That's how important it is that you find out about Jesus by reading him in God's word. So please, I'd love to meet you. I'd love to chat to you because we think everyone needs to come to know Jesus. To our God and Father be all the glory forever and ever.